just too white and nerdy.
I'm just too white and nerdy.
Really, really white and
first
nerdy.
First in my class here at MIT.
Hi, and welcome to the Revenge of the Nerd. My name is Cadrus Gunsmith, and today I have with me Cody from Zelda Universe. How are you going, Cody?
I am going good.
All right. Now, Cody, explain to us exactly what Zelda Universe is.
ZeldaUniverse.net is a website dedicated to the Legend of Zelda video game series. It's the largest Zelda community on the internet. It has the biggest forums. It has a huge, you know, YouTube and Facebook and Twitter following. And basically, so there's the discussion, and then there's the news. We like to report on, you know, the latest in Zelda news, along with just fan art and articles and opinion pieces and all that. So we try and get things up. We try and get at least one news piece up a day.
And how long has it been online for?
It has been online since 2002. It's gone through like four owners at this point. I actually joined as a forum member in 2003 and then worked my way up, became a forum moderator, ended up becoming the webmaster of the whole thing.
So you ended up taking it over from
humble beginnings.
How did that go down?
That's my presidential election, you know, thing. I'm like, oh, I was just a humble son of a goat herder or whatever, and then I just, through hard work, I became the webmaster of Zelda Universe.
How did that happen? How does someone go from just a member of a community to be the master of a web?
The master of a web. Well, first off, I became a moderator just through bugging moderators about specific sections and being like, hey, do this, until they were like, you do this, yeah. And then made me a moderator, which is always the best way to go, just annoy people until they give you what you want.
Yeah, badger the cops until they give you a badge.
Yeah.
And a gun.
And a badger.
But so that's how you became a moderator, but, you know, what happened then?
Okay, so I worked my way up, became a super moderator, and started working on the site. And then eventually I thought, you know, I want to be a webmaster. Let's have an election.
Did you call an election? Or?
Well, technically the owner called an election.
Okay.
But I suggested that I should be a webmaster, and we worked out that the U.S. presidential election was around the corner. So in November of 2008, we held an election of our own. It was me against one of the other super moderators called PowerShot, and we had debates, you know, and all of this, and I ended up winning the vote and became the webmaster.
So if there were four total, was there four before you or four total?
Well, I'm not the owner, actually. The owner from then is still the owner. It's a complicated situation, but yeah, I'm the webmaster. I run all the day-to-day stuff of the site. The other webmasters, the owner isn't so much as involved in the site as he pays for server stuff. He deals with server stuff.
Yeah.
I deal with people stuff.
Right.
You know, the actual management of the website as opposed to the keeping the website online, which both of them are important, obviously. You can't have, you can't go without one of them. But yeah, I like to think I do an important job.
What kind of people are Zelda fans that hang out in a forum with each other constantly? They're not constantly talking about Zelda, are they?
Oh, no, Zelda is one of the sections of our boards. We have general things with general, you know, gaming and entertainment and just general chit-chat. We have, just more general forum games sort of boards and serious discussion for all those, you know, politics and religion and all the stuff that we want to keep out of all the other boards because they're so inflammatory. And, you know, we've got like, a role-playing thing. We've got all these different sections of the forums. So it's, I say the Zelda Universe community, but it's more, it's probably, you know, a few sub-communities in there that just sort of frequent different areas. But yeah, people still do talk a lot about Zelda. There's always fresh blood, always asking new questions, and there's always just topics that people will talk about forever, like, is Ocarina of Time or Majora's Mask better? There have been like 500 threads of that people just love debating, you know, or talking about Tingle, everyone's most divisive character in the Zelda series, or should the Zelda series have voice acting? That one belongs in the serious discussion board because people are serious about it.
Are there people that are against that?
Against voice acting, yeah. It's actually a majority, I think. It's because it hasn't had voice acting in the past, it's the people saying, oh, yeah, well, you know, it might ruin it. You know, this is just how it's always been. So that's actually a fairly common opinion there.
Afraid of change.
Afraid of change. You just need to look to Facebook. Have you ever seen a Facebook change in which 3/4 of Facebook didn't immediately rise up in revolt complaining?
But that's and then just forget? It. Eventually they forget about it and they end up liking it because they're just not used to it, though. Do you reckon that's maybe the same thing? Do you reckon it's because people
personally, I think voice acting, if it's done well, is fine. It's just that Nintendo traditionally has not been the finest at having good voice acting.
Right.
The Super Mario Sunshine, I believe, had some voice acting that sort of took people out of the game and all that, and people didn't like the way Other M went, Metroid Other M,
right,
with Samus's personality stuff and all that, and they're worried that they might ruin Link the same way.
I suppose so. I suppose if they were going to do it at all, though, it would be on the new console, on the Wii U.
Yeah, I'm happy to see the change. I think it's one of those things that's... The reason it wasn't in the original game wasn't because they thought it was artistic. It was just
because... They couldn't.
It was technical restraints. And then it suddenly became a hallmark of the series because they didn't do it when it switched to 3D. But it's by no means something that's actually integral to the experience. Some people disagree. They say, you know, I want to put my voice in the character. This is my Link to the games, which is the pun that Link's name is based on.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, it's deep discussion. As you can tell, we just spent like 5 minutes talking about it. Maybe you haven't even seen the... Yeah.
Maybe that's another part as well of so many people connect to a Zelda game in their past. I think everyone kind of has one that is
their thing game.
It's because they've connected to it literally emotionally to the point where, you know, it's almost their voice or their kind of heart inside of it.
And the thing is, since it's been around since 2002, you get all these different generations who grew up with their first Zelda game being a different game.
Yeah.
Like you got the oldies, and by oldies I mean like grandpas like your age or whatever that might have played
my age.
Yeah, it might have played the original Legend of Zelda back on the Nintendo Entertainment System, back before these fancy first-person shooters and get off my lawn, you know. And then there's the kids probably my age that whose first Zelda game was like Ocarina of Time,
yeah,
or maybe A Link to the Past,
yeah,
and then. You know, people who started signing up in 2002, that was when The Wind Waker came out,
yeah,
or 2003, you know, and then since then Twilight Princess has come out and then Skyward Sword. So in this forum's history, there's been at least 3 generations of fans that have signed up. You know, every year new 13-year-olds who've played it for the first time sign up with their first experience being a different Zelda game.
Yeah.
Which means they have clashes because they think, my game is the best in all the world. Look at everything it's done. And the other people think, that was done in the previous game, whichever game I, the superior person, played first. So, you know, it's a constant source of conflict in discussion.
Well, personally, my first one was Link's Awakening, but the first time...
You weren't quite that old. You're more like just a dad, I guess, than a grandpa.
The first time that I had my mind blown by a Zelda game was Ocarina of Time, for sure. That was...
Yep.
But, I mean, I suppose that was with most people, even that, you know, we used those older games, is that was the first time that he was...
Right.
Like, well, that was the first time a lot of things were happening. Like, I remember seeing... flicking through... I was in a tent, and I had a Nintendo Power magazine, and I was flicking through the the screenshots for the new, like, the future Nintendo 64 console and seeing those graphics and being like, what the hell? Like, what the f*** is this? Like, that stuff absolutely blew my mind. And I remember, like, even then with the 64, when Ocarina of Time came out, the graphics for that were even way better than what had been seen on any other game, even on the 64. I remember that was the first game that had, I think it was the big deal was it was Shadows?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Shadows. It was like, this is the first game that has shadows of your character in the game. It's like, look how real it is. And like, they're all this, it was still when you would buy kind of Nintendo magazines and stuff. And it was the only source of any kind of internet, actual game information. I remember like the same time as like, you'd have the Nintendo hotline as well. Like everything had to be physical. And I remember there was large whole articles on Link's Shadows. That was going to be lens flares as well. They made a massive deal. Right. It was one of the first games lens flares.
It made a bunch of changes. It was a big deal, like the Z targeting, the targeting system to make it possible for 3D adventure games to really, you know, work. Sort of took off. Like Super Mario 64 was the same way with its revolutionary, you know, having 3D cameras, being able to move the camera around. That was sort of created by it. It made a lot of differences, but for each generation, they experienced that for the first time with a game that sort of taken Ocarina of Time and improved on it.
Yeah.
Like Twilight Princess has a lot of the same things as Ocarina of Time, except for a lot of people, it was the first game where you could swing your arm and you could make a sword swing, and that was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And plus, since they weren't old enough for Ocarina of Time, all those things that you said, they were experiencing it for the first time with Twilight Princess, you know?
Yeah.
So, personally, I like Majora's Mask and Wind Waker, MM and WW, the two upside-down versions of each other. They're probably my favorite. I think it's just because my style of Zelda that I enjoy is side quest heavy, is world heavy. I'm not too concerned about the main quest. I try and... It's the same sort of thing that I've always done with homework, is procrastinate to the last minute, find out whatever else I can do.
Yep.
So I'm always seeing, what are these cool side quests? What are these characters like? And Majora's Mask especially had all these different side characters, and you didn't really have to do the main quest all that much.
Yeah.
And Wind Waker had so much to explore. And so, yeah, that's probably why I liked those ones so much.
I think these days when they have side quests, they make them, they're kind of a big deal, but I don't think they have as much heart as the side quests. Like, yeah, the thing about side quests in Zelda is you'd find them really kind of randomly, and sometimes you'd stumble upon the answer without really knowing. Like, a lot of these times when there's side quests, you can open up a map and it goes, go over here, and this person will be here that he's talking to and deliver that letter. But in Zelda, they never really tell you where... They'll describe where you need to go, or tell you the name of a place where you need to go to meet someone. They'll never be highlighted with a big exclamation mark above their head. It's you have to interact with every single character in a Zelda game. And there's not many games these days that actually do that. Like, some will either... I think like in Mass Effect 3 at the moment, they'll have like a reticle over them when you get close, which means you can actually talk to them. But everyone else,
I guess Skyrim's like that. You just go and talk to everyone. They all have their own little side quests, but they're not as, they don't have as much heart as the ones like Majora's Mask. You have like a 12-part series where you're bringing back a couple that were about to be married, and you know, they're not going to be able to be married before the moon falls on their head in 3 days. You know, and you learn about these characters and you care about the characters. They're not just Hervig Hardsworth Norway name sitting in the inn in Skyrim saying, oh, I need 5 boar pelts. Please go into Dungeon of Undead, you know. That's why I love Majora's Mask.
Like WoW quests, which is just grinding.
Right. The WoW has improved its quests. It sort of gets some variation where you get like rocket boots or whatever.
It defined grinding, and I think apparently, I don't play WoW, but apparently now after defining it, they've kind of gotten over it and have expanded a little bit. From what I know.
Right. Yeah, well, they've sort of, they perfected the art of grinding, and then they said, well, how can we change for the next expansion? What can we change? And then what they got out of it was sort of an evolution of that concept. So it's interesting.
Often on this podcast, we've talked about shows when we were growing up, like cartoons and stuff, and morals in cartoons, and how like these days they're not as prevalent, and there aren't as many good role models as they used to be.
You were old. You're talking about the old days and how everything was better.
The olden days. Well, yeah, I mean, the 90s is, there was something good about the 90s. But do you think that the morals in Zelda have kept up?
If by morals you mean break into their house, take their pots and throw them on the ground, or perhaps kill everything that gets in your path.
There's still kind of an innocence to it, though, isn't it? I mean, you're still attacking stuff, but it's, I think, it's something about it. I think it was always, you were doing it selflessly. I mean, I don't think you ever really...
Right. It has some things that out of context are just funny. Running into people's houses, throwing their pots on the ground to steal their money and running out.
They're mechanics that were there just for the fact because you needed them for the game. But
when you take them literally into real life consideration, it's like, wait, this is a menace. Yeah. Link is a menace.
He's out of control.
Out of control.
Yeah, but when it comes down to it, with overall, it's about this kind of selfless quest where he's basically giving himself. I think that kind of story has always kind of kept with the Zelda series, which is really good. And I don't think many other games really do have that kind of selfless... because when on the last episode, we talked to Kelly Xena Mitchell, who's the Xena cosplayer, and we talked to her about...
me in the Top Geek boats.
Yes, she's in Top Geek as well, and we discussed how the main storyline for Xena was redemption, like literally the entire thing, because Xena was basically a Hitler-type character at the start, and yet in the entire show, it's like basically, it's if Hitler, you know, went on a road trip trying to, like, do good deeds to redeem from his, like, unforgivable past, like, because she was, like, a warlord.
Right, because Hitler fell in love with Superman. Superman convinced him to change his ways. So he went on this journey of redemption. A copyright, by the way, DC Comics. it's mine. You're going to have to pay me for that.
All right, well, I'll make sure they know that. But it's those, these kind of giant, kind of heroic stories don't so much exist anymore in such a simple kind of...
Yeah, well, it's good at sticking to the simple Save the Princess story. I think it's not... I mean, it's true that that games get overly complicated nowadays. I think in more indie games, it might be more prevalent. Just the, your faceless guy, go save the princess. But I think in other games, it's sort of gotten more and more complex, and Zelda does keep that plot part simple, I think.
Speaking of the plot of Zelda, there's been a bit of talk over the past year of the continuity of the games, and from my understanding, the entire series is basically, you know, they're loose kind of different universes. Like each one is a new Zelda story from the start itself. But in the past year, there's been a lot of talk with saying that there's an official timeline and that there actually is a continuity going on with the Zelda games. Being from Zelda universe, do you have much of a... What's going on there? What's your opinion on that?
Okay, so when I said the plot was simple, I wasn't referring to the timeline. The timeline is the most complicated thing you're ever going to hear unless someone makes a Super Mario games timeline.
All right, well, let's say, what do they say in the official thing? What is the first Zelda game in the timeline?
Skyward Sword.
Skyward Sword, but is he a child in that? Like, baby no. Link? Then how is that the first, then?
It's not the same Link in every game.
What do you mean by that? If they're saying it's a continuity, how is it not the same Link?
It's a continuity in that it's in the same world. It's not the same link every time. So what would a good example of that be? You know, your different heroes throughout history with the same destiny with by the goddesses or whatever. But it's not the same person in Ocarina of Time and Twilight Princess and, you know, all of this. There's some games that are the same, Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask. It's a direct sequel,
right?
You know, or Zelda 1 and Zelda 2 or whatever. But or The Wind Waker and Phantom Hourglass, for that matter. But they do... The thing is, it's not about linking those together. That's easy. It's about linking the sets together, like linking the link from The Wind Waker and Phantom Hourglass with the link from Ocarina of Time. Which one's before the other one? You know, in a timeline. It's so complicated.
That's all right. So it's almost like I think I remember it in. A few of the games where they talk in the past tense of, you know, they talk about the hero of time and these legends and stuff. And it almost does seem kind of like he's being reincarnated in different generations. Am I right on that? That it's kind of like...
Right, in a way.
There's previous heroes that they refer to, and what they're referring to
is
almost, it's him, basically. And
you're going to be surprised by this one, but it has been confirmed by the same book that confirmed this official timeline, the Hyrule Historia, is what it's called. It's been confirmed that the link from Ocarina of Time appears in Twilight Princess.
Oh, really?
Right, as this skeletal warrior that teaches you moves. That he's called, like, the ancient hero or whatever.
Yeah, I remember that.
So people suspected it, but it got confirmed that that was the link from Ocarina of Time. So obviously this is, like... You know, hundreds of years later,
a new kind of.
And what's suspected is that he turned into the skeleton guys, the Stalfos or whatever, because that's what's supposed to happen if you're not. If you remember Ocarina of Time, if you're not a Kakiri, you go get in the Lost Woods, you get lost.
Yeah.
You're supposed to turn into a Stalfos or a skeleton guy.
Yeah.
So that I'm suspecting that's what happened after Majora's Mask for him to be a skeleton guy. Teach skeleton ghost guy teaching moves in Twilight Princess.
Would you like to see a game that was almost like, you know how Metal Gear Solid did like old Snake? Snake is an old man. Would you like to see that kind of them to go into that past and actually make a game around like the old Link and he's dying like years of Link? It'll be interesting.
There's different ages of Links in different games. Sometimes they're teenagers. In Ocarina of Time, he's both 10 and 17, depending on which part of the game you're in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about the specifics of that. Please don't quote me and then say, actually, he was 17 and a half.
That's right, I won't do that.
Yes, but yeah, Twilight Princess Link is more like a young adult. He's been living on a farm, which, by the way, is why people theorize that Link married Malin in Ocarina of Time.
Mm.
And that's why his descendants or whatever might be living on a ranch.
Common farmers. Muggles.
Muggles. Why they might be muggles. Yes. I don't know about the wizarding world.
Is there much fan fiction happening on your side?
Is there much fan fiction? Yeah. It's all over the Zelda. We moderate it. There's none of that more raunchy fan fiction, but people love, create. It's what I was talking about with.
Just for people that may not know, can you just describe what fan fiction is and how it pertains to in the Zelda world?
Okay, well, fan fiction is basically taking a world that already exists and putting, you know, creating a character in it and exploring that world, as opposed to making your own world. Like, I could make a world called Veslia where the cats are taking over from another dimension. That's my world. But if I made a story where I was in Narnia, or I was, or Edmund was in Narnia and I was, writing about him, that's fan fiction. It's from the world of Narnia but it's not from the official author. So that's what people do. They put themselves...
It's a fan-made extended universe.
Right. They put themselves in the world of Hyrule and sort of explore it in that way.
Have people gone into detail into trying to kind of fill those gaps in between the games, or...?
Oh, yeah. We've had one of our more active Zelda boards has been the Zelda Theorizing board, and timeline theories have been... Well, not anymore, because Nintendo released the official one like 6 months ago. But timeline theories for years have been a major part of that. People arguing, like, it's serious academic discussion, like sources. It's serious business. People have like left the site in dramatic, dramatic, huge, multiple page posts, and got themselves banned and formed factions because.
Splinter cells.
The split timeline of Zelda is something that had been debated for a long time, whether there was just one timeline or whether it's split. And so there were the splittists and the linearists. So and they had like their own banners. They were like their own factions arguing with each other.
Is the split one basically the same as the Star Trek movie split timeline theory? Which is that at the start of the new Star Trek reboot, there was a time travel incident where Vulcan is destroyed, and then that's the explanation for why the story now is different from the start?
I think it's more like... So let's use Star Trek as an example.
Perfect example. Lots of time traveling in Star Trek.
Okay, so let's say that Captain Kirk and his crew were traveling along, going doodle-doodle-doo, and they ran into a giant monster. It ate all of the crew, except Spock, who managed to escape to the past to warn the previous crew.
Yeah.
So now you've got two versions of reality.
Yeah, okay.
One of them in which the crew is eaten and Spock is missing. The other one in which the whole crew is there, plus an extra Spock.
And that is the official explanation for Ocarina of Time, correct?
And that is, I believe, from what I remember of the Star Trek movie, that is why there are two Spocks.
Yes, exactly.
So, well, not that specific explanation, but that's the sort of thing I mean. Like, there's a timeline where, because Link goes to the future and goes back to the past.
Yeah.
So once he's, he's an adult, he's defeated Ganon, he goes back to the past, that version of reality no longer has Link. But yeah. The other one grows up with Link growing up and getting his childhood, growing up as a child,
Yeah.
So, and that means that in one of the timelines, Ganondorf resurfaces. He's, no one's there to stop him. There's no hero. Hyrule is flooded. Mm-hmm. This isn't speculation. This is the intro sequence to the Wind Waker.
Yeah.
Like, it says... big scary Ganon reappeared. No one was there to stop him. Hyrule got flooded. And then obviously that means in the other timeline, Hyrule didn't get flooded, which is the Twilight Princess timeline.
Okay.
I hope that was a good explanation because this is all very confusing.
No, that's good. That's fine. That's I think, okay, we've got a good example of,
yeah,
of how it works now. So it's not as linear as one would have.
Right. In fact, the Nintendo pulled one over on all of the timeline theorists who thought there were just two splits when they announced the official timeline.
Mm-hmm.
They said Ocarina of Time had a third split in which the hero was defeated by Ganon during the course of the game. So, like, Link died. He fell down the Deku tree and he missed the spider web and he went splat. Ganon doesn't have anyone to take them down anymore. Has to be defeated by, like, the sages working together or whatever. And that alters history. So that was the third timeline, and that leads to a Link to the Past timeline.
I don't know about that one. That sounds a little far-fetched. That sounds like a bit of a retcon to me.
We never know how much of this is retcon because... But the fact is, it becomes canon because they say it is.
That's true, it is so Nintendo. That
this is the levels of canon thing. You can say all you want, that doesn't make sense. And then they say, well, it's true. it becomes canon. You just have to figure out how to make it make sense, you know?
Now, Cody, your presence extends further from just webmaster of Zelda Universe. It goes
throughout the galaxy.
It goes throughout the galaxy, and it also makes its way to YouTube, where you've actually got quite a following there with a lot of your videos.
Yeah, I actually struck a bit of success, a bit of gold with something completely different to Zelda, which was Minecraft. I started a Minecraft series, and at this point it has about 140,000 views in the first episode.
Yeah.
It just keeps going. Like, if I go to my stats for what's been most viewed this month, it's generally that video with like 6,000 views every month from searches and that, and it keeps going up.
And is that a Let's Play, or what is that?
Yeah, that's what it's called. It's a Let's Play. It's basically the idea is you talk over playing a video game, which sometimes it's to be funny,
Yeah. Sometimes
it's just for entertainment, sometimes it's to be informative. Like, some of them are less Let's Plays as they are video walkthroughs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're always talking about, all right, well, here is where you find the compass, and, you know, and just keeps to relevant things. Mine, I just wander around aimlessly and make terrible puns and sing terrible songs, and people love it. I do more than just Minecraft. I've done a Let's Play of Super Mario Bros. 3. I've got one of The Legend of Dragoon, an old PS1 game. That was the first one I ever started. I'm still not done with Disc 2. It's been going for like a year and a half or something. It's going to finish when I'm like 80, when I'm as old as you.
My ancient old 26-year-old brutal bones.
Yes, that first played A Link to the Past.
But you don't just do a Let's Play. Let's Play are very kind of popular these days, but yours are a little bit, they're a little bit different because you almost give a bit of a story into a few things. Like with your Minecraft Let's Play, you actually kind of add a bit of a story into it where in Minecraft there is no real story. Well, at least there wasn't until they actually gave an
ending. There wasn't. So, yeah, well, to be able to make it seem like there is progress, you need to make your own story in a Minecraft Let's Play. It's easy for The Legend of Dragoon because that's a JRPG. Mm-hmm. It has a story. They just won't stop talking.
Yeah.
You know, so it's easy to just follow along with that. But with Minecraft, you start off and you're like, well, hey, this is a world. I can do anything. What do I do? You know, so you need to set a goal. I said, let's build a house. And then I was like, let's dig to here. Let's build a second story of my house.
Yeah.
You know, you need to actually set goals in that kind of open world game, or you're just going to be not going anywhere.
Well, a quick, I always have to remember to do this, is a quick description of Minecraft is it's basically a giant Lego alive sandbox. Would you say that's right. A good way of describing
basically,
it?
Basically, it's a world made up of square blocks that could be, you know, dirt, it could be stone, you could get wheat or something and make bread, like, but everything in this world you can like dig up and put in your inventory.
You can mine and then you can craft it into something else and you can put it back into the world and reshape everything in this kind of blocky
world. You can get wood, turn it into sticks, get the sticks together with some stone and make a mining pick or a shovel. And then you can use that to get better versions of stone, or you know, or to dig through dirt really fast, so you can flatten it to make a farm. An interesting concept for a game.
It is a very interesting concept. With Zelda Universe, what has being webmaster of that afforded you? Have you do you actually make any money from Zelda Universe, or?
That's a complicated question. I have gotten a lot of benefits from Zelda Universe.
I do know one thing. I know you went to E3 last year, didn't you?
Right, that's what I was thinking of. I went to E3 last year. I got to meet up with a bunch of people I'd previously only seen on the internet. I saw Reggie. Do you know Reggie?
No, who's Reggie?
He's like the president of Nintendo of America. He presents.
Oh, Reggie.
Right, Reggie.
That Reggie. Yeah, I don't really like Reggie.
Right, he's like... He's like 7 foot and like menacing, striding past. I saw him. We got Miyamoto's 3DS Mii.
That's awesome.
You can tell it's his because his character has gold pants, and you can't actually have gold pants in the 3DS. So he's like, whatever, I'll do what I want on Miyamoto. I have gold pants.
Miyamoto's magic golden pants.
Right. So, yeah, it was a fun experience. I also, the reason my personal channel has a partnership that allows me to put ads on the videos
mm-hmm.
is because the Zelda Universe one does. I sort of can use that and say, look at me, I'm the webmaster of Zelda Universe, and use that and sort of leverage to talk to important people. And then I get my networks and I get my own benefits. It's been a good experience and I've learned stuff as well. So, yeah.
Well, as some people may have just have noticed, I said I knew you'd been to E3 last year. That's because we've known each other for just over a year now. Was the first time we met, didn't we? It was we were both in the Top Geek competition.
Yep.
And that was, explain to us what was the Top Geek competition last year.
Okay, so iiNet, which is a local Australian internet provider. It's not actually relevant to me because they don't provide internet here, which is sort of sad because they were like, hey, we'll give you free internet. And I was like, okay. And they were like, oh, we can't do that. but yeah, they hosted an Australia's Top Geek competition. And then, you know, you could get voted in or chosen by the judges. And I decided I'll get voted in because I have a community of Zelda fans.
You use your giant Zelda backing to get in. Well, I just slug it out with the judges.
I came second in the voting because the owner of Bulbapedia, the world's biggest Pokemon resource, also decided to join in.
Yeah.
And then on Bulbapedia at the top was like, hey, vote for me. And then it was like on every page. That can't compete with that. Zelda Universe is big, but it's not Bulbapedia. Bulbapedia is like the biggest internet, the biggest gaming site I know apart from like the biggest specific gaming site I know for a specific game.
Yeah, it's a juggernaut.
Like it's not IGN, but in terms of websites for specific games, you can't get much bigger than Bulbapedia.
Yeah, it's as close to official as you can get.
Right. The thing is, the difference between Pokemon and Zelda is that Pokemon, you need guides to figure out what's going on with all these stats, when your Pokemon will get a certain move, how to evolve it. So Bulbapedia is sort of a necessity for Pokemon players that want to know what they are doing.
Yeah.
Whereas Zelda Universe, while it has guides, it's more of just a fans retreat to see Zelda stuff and talk about Zelda stuff. So it's not as, but it still gets like 25,000 unique visitors a day. It's not small by any means.
Yeah, no, we were in this Top Geek competition where we basically did these challenges, which was just a series of videos basically, and
I got knocked out in the first round.
That's right, that's unfortunate,
because I did a Zelda video and then they were like, they gave me some response about picking a more convincing fairy or something. I don't know. I'm not sure they understood what Navi was.
I think you may have outgeeked their brains, frankly, Cody.
I did too well at Top Geek. I did so well that the judges were like, what is this?
Yeah, their brains exploded with that one, I think. I think I managed to make it. I came second overall of the entire competition, but huzzah. But we're in it again this year, aren't we? We're competing.
Yes, we are, and I'm currently fourth in voting, but I haven't told my YouTube channel yet. I'm debating whether to, because the rules are different this time.
It is different this time.
I only have to be top five in the gaming category, and I'm already first in that.
Yeah.
So The only reason to beat Xena is pride. I'm like Ares.
Well, see, that'd be good. Imagine if we had everyone that was in the Top Geek for 2012 had been previously on my podcast.
Uh-huh.
It's the career maker for all geeks out there. Just right. So you know, you got to make it here if you want to make Major it anywhere else in life. Yeah, star maker.
Star maker.
Well, it's going to be interesting this year because they've got the different categories. So, I'm not sure what's going to happen with that.
It was sort of lopsided in terms of the challenges benefited one type of geek over another.
Yeah.
Like, the winner was an art geek, but, you know, obviously an art geek didn't have that much, didn't really have an advantage in the first couple rounds, which were like, make an invention, which is like a tech geek thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and all of this. And then there was one round where they were playing video games. Unfortunately, I didn't get to do that one, but that would have been probably my specialty. But this time you're fighting on your specialty, so it should be good.
Yeah, I'm in fandom, which is, I think it's the most popular one, so I've got some tough competition. I don't think I'll make it in the top five voted. I've got too many friends. How many people do I have in the top five? I think at the moment four of the top five are friends of mine. There's Alana, who was in it last year. There's Bonnie, who works at Mana Bar. I've worked with her at Mana Bar as well. I'm friends with her. There's Lauren, who just got on the other day, who's another friend of mine. She's a good cosplayer. And there's Kelly, which was the Xena cosplayer from last episode. And they're all in the top four. And I told all of them about the competition. Oh, I'm shooting myself in the foot. But but I'm going against all of those in the fandom things. It's going to be very, very interesting. Well, that's if I get in by the judges'
vote. Well, if my fans are still listening to this after like an hour of us blabbing, you can go and vote. If you look in the description, you can go and vote for Skadris in Top Geek.
That's true.
And you should also subscribe to his channel.
Yes, on my channel. It's basically all these podcasts in enhanced format. I like to go through and put photos and pictures of things we're talking about.
Enhanced is cool. I wasn't all that big on iBooks until I found an enhanced version of The Hobbit in which there's an audio thing where J.R.R. Tolkien reads part of the chapter, and I was like,
whoa,
this is much better than books. Forget books. Give me books when books read excerpts from the original author.
By
the original author, yeah.
Yeah. No, I can't take all credit for the enhanced thing on YouTube. I actually stole that from I stole that from Jeff Rubin, who's was my first guest on the show. He was lovely enough to come on.
Is he in the top five?
No, he's not. He's not Australian, so he's not. He's the chief editor from College Humor.
Oh, cool.
.com. But back to Zelda stuff, the Zelda universe. So with all the webmasters from Zelda universe that moved on, what did they move on to go and do?
The first owner and webmaster sold it to go and work on more real-life things, like degrees and all that, because back when he sold it, it was fairly popular, but it wasn't a career thing that you could live off of. So
yeah.
He just sold the site to a site buyer, not someone from the community, but someone who was interested in buying it. So, you know, because they'd bought lots of other sites.
Mm-hmm.
So then that person eventually sold it to another site buyer. And then in, I think, 2007, one of the community members bought it back. And that's the person who's still the owner. So since the original owner, we've had owners, but they haven't been concerned about the community so much as concerned about making sure the ads are in the right places.
Right.
So I think this is the golden age of Zelda universe.
Well, you've had fresh blood with the anniversary and the new game. So how's that been for the community?
Oh, that's been great. The whole community has expanded. Like, the Zelda, our site has grown, but it's grown, I think, because every Zelda site has grown. Every Zelda site has, like, tripled in size.
Yeah.
Thanks to 2011, which was, there were like 8 Zelda games released in 2011. And that's not even an exaggeration because of the 3DS eShop and all that.
Yeah.
Like, because for Ambassadors, the first and second Zelda games are available on eShop, and then they released the Minish Cap on there and Four Swords on there. And Ocarina of Time 3D got released for the 3DS, and just Skyward huge. Sword got released. There's probably more that I didn't remember. So, yeah, it's been probably the biggest year ever for Zelda. It's coming down for now, but either this E3 or next E3, we're going to probably be getting Zelda 3DS and Zelda Wii U. stuff, and that's going to bring, you know, all the people back.
What are you hoping for the next Zelda title? What is your dream Zelda announcement at E3?
I am not sure. It's because the thing is, well, I don't know, because what I want is something new.
Come on, dream. Think
and,
big.
And that's really vague. So, I mean, because the things I want are like a remake of Majora's Mask for 3DS.
Yeah.
But that's not...
There's been a bit of a petition for that, hasn't there?
Yeah, I founded that.
Of course you did.
Yeah, it has like 50,000 petitions now. We use Zelda Universe to launch it along with some other Zelda sites, and then we got attention, and then Al Numa, the director of Zelda games, said that they'd heard it, and they were saying they're going to release a new Zelda game first, I think, because they just released Ocarina of Time 3DS.
Yeah.
So that's good. We got heard by the Japanese developers of Zelda.
That's huge.
So yeah, that sounds like it will be good. But yeah, for a new game, I'm not sure. There's some critiques I've had of recent games of Skyward Sword and all that. I think it might have gotten a bit too linear.
Yeah.
Just like going from point to point, because the original charm of the original Legend of Zelda and what I loved about like Majora's Mask and the Wind Waker is just go. You go wherever, you'll find something.
Have a chat.
It's getting a bit more scripted now. It's not Final Fantasy 13, but it's not the original Legend of Zelda either, you know?
Yeah. Well, I would hope that... I would assume your answer would be that either a completely original 3DS... game that wasn't just top down like those
that's so not so much imagination as they're going to do it because it gets them lots of like we sort of know in a way they're going to release Zelda 3DS, they're going to release Zelda Wii U because these are their big sellers, these are the things that
it has
that
to
bring
be.
People over to the next console, bring the fans over.
Yeah.
So what I'm not sure about is exactly what they'll change. So, yeah.
Well, I bought a 3DS basically just for the remastered Ocarina of Time. And I think it was worth it to buy the console just for that game, frankly. Because when I was originally playing it, I actually didn't realize it had been remastered. Because I'd never really kind of thought about it. And as I was playing it, I was like, these graphics aren't as bad as I thought they might have been. I thought I'd be like shocked into not being able to replay it because it would look so bad. I'm like, no, this looks fine. This is how it always was.
And they did a really good job because
I did a comparison video. And I was like, oh my god, I can't believe what's this like.
It's Ocarina of Time as you remember it in your nostalgic imagination.
Exactly, exactly.
Which is great, and that's why people have been petitioning for Majora's Mask because less people got to experience that.
Yeah, why was
but
that?
It was a really good game that it could do with some things improved, namely saving.
Yeah.
You could only quick save and exit or restart time. So that's why people think handheld is great for it, because you shut the case on your 3DS, it's in sleep mode. Like, you've paused it.
Why was Majora's Mask... So I remember I had it, but my memories just aren't there of it. So I remember the moon, I remember the masks really clearly, but for some reason, my memories of it just aren't as vivid, and it just wasn't as popular. Why was that? It almost seemed like there was something... Did we get distracted? Is that when GoldenEye came out, or what happened?
I think it was a matter of people's expectations versus what they got. Because nowadays... there's a huge resurgence in Majora's Mask support. People playing it nowadays realize, hey, this was a better game than Ocarina of Time. It took things from it and made them better and introduced new mechanics. But back then, people wanted more Ocarina of Time. It was the greatest game of all time. It's so revolutionary.
Yeah.
And what they got was sort of a quirky thing with like a 3D mechanic and transforming and all that. It wasn't really Ocarina of Time in a way.
Yeah. I have to get back to that, but it's one of those things. It's actually a hard game to find as well. Like, I've looked around for it in, like...
It's on the Wii Virtual Console.
That's right. I sold my Wii. See, that's blasphemy.
Good job.
I think I told you.
I bet you sold it to get like an Xbox Kinect.
No, I sold it and I sold my Xbox to fund making my arcade machine. So it went to something good.
I told you you're old. You're selling your Xbox 360 so you can get like some 1980 arcade machine back from back in the day.
I built it from scratch. It's not back in the day. It's brand new.
And what kind of game does it play?
It plays about 80 MAME. Like, it's an emulator, so it plays classic arcade games, though. So,
so old games.
Well,
and why did you need to build an arcade? Is it? What's the difference in the experience, really, compared to playing it emulated on your computer?
Absolutely, because it's got a coin slot. And those old games, if you've just got a button which means coin, put money in now, it means nothing. Lives mean nothing. Those games only make sense if there's, like, you're literally going to lose something if you keep going. Like, because we actually played, there's a glitch in, I think we've got Michael Jackson's Moonwalker on it, which is fucking amazing. But for some reason, it's, like, stuck on infinite lives or something, so you just can't die, and it makes something that looks so amazing and interesting and fascinating and bizarre just so boring because there's no risk.
Right. That's the whole reason that the live system is even around is arcades. People needed to have three turns and they're out so that they'd have to put another coin in.
Yeah.
Like, nowadays, it's just sort of a bit of a hindrance. Like, you're sort of like, oh, well, that takes me further back in the level and I have to do these again and get to that again.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really have a purpose having a number of lives the way it did before when the number of lives meant, well, start the whole thing again, put more coins in.
Yeah, there are plenty of games now. I actually wrote an article on this, but there's plenty of games now where there really is no consequence either way. It's just that, you know, you'll stop and you'll go back like 2 minutes into the game to the start of a save point. And then you just keep going and, like, hitting it until you make a pass. And the only reward for really doing that is to just continue the story. There's a lot of games like that where you're going through the motions of an interactive story, which I'd say at some part that's what Uncharted is, and even more literal and directly is Azura's Wrath, which is the...
Oh, I've heard of this.
The new Capcom game where it's literally only it's an anime. And it's in episodes.
And then
each level's
an episode. You have to build up like some bar, and then it goes like burst.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. It's like it's quick time events, and every now and then you get to do some God of War style beating up, but it's all quick time events. But it's amazing. Like, it looks fascinating, and it doesn't go for too long because it's all set in episodes. And at the end, it does like a recap and the next episode of Azura's Wrath.
I like it. Quick time events when they're done properly. When it's sort of like you're in the middle of a cutscene, suddenly quick time event, you have 2 seconds, whoops, start cutscene again. I'm like, oh, come on.
You do have to do it quickly. It doesn't kind of just restart. It has a really interesting way of going around it if you fuck it up. But it's the best use of quick time events ever. Like, quick time events are basically a no-no. There was a time when every game just threw them in there and it was fucking annoying because you didn't do it anywhere else in the game except when they had a nice pretty thing for you, and that will just ruin it. But with this one, they do in these amazing places because it's a very emotional story. So every time, like, he's doing something, like, incredibly, like, you know, this is impossible, over 9,000, then that's when they start, like, you start really getting involved, and somehow they've tied quick time events into emotions directly. And it's just a bizarre kind of thing that they've built with it. It's fascinating to check out. I'd say Azura's Wrath is probably, at the moment, it's the best game to rent. Not necessarily buy, but to rent. It is, like, literally renting a series of, like, anime or something and, like, churning through it. I mean, because you're not going
to... Goes to Blockbusters or another archaic form of... form of...
Video game acquisition.
Video game acquisition. He's actually gone out of... business in America, hasn't it, Blockbuster? But it's still around in Australia.
Yeah, it's definitely got a death wish.
Right. They just got outplayed by, like, Netflix.
Steam.
Well, Steam for games. So I was thinking for movies and stuff, it would be Netflix and Hulu, even though Australia gets neither of those unless you have...
We have QuickFlix, but QuickFlix is fucking abominable.
Mm. It's a pain being on the internet when you're an Australian. First world problems. you keep doing everything, and it's like, oh, hey, it's sorry, this isn't available in your country. And yeah. I'm like, ah.
They're forcing us to pirate the bastards.
What do you mean? It's the Australian Open. Why is it only available in America, YouTube?
Exactly. So, as a webmaster for Zelda Universe, you can't. You can't do this forever. What's your next plan, do you think you'll do? Where do you go from here?
The world, Pinky. The world. Just like every night. I don't know. I think, you know, in 20 years or something, I don't know, maybe like an MP or something, because that for our non-Australians, like a member of parliament or something, you know, Congress, Senate, whatever your local equivalent of democracy is, unless you live in North Korea, in which case, hi, don't know how you got internet. But yeah, I'm interested in making a difference. So I think, you know, in later life, I might be interested in doing something like that, where I can do that with the practice, with the skills I've learned of interacting with people from YouTube and all this. So,
would you still keep up your fandom?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're important. I need to build it up to 1 million Australians so that I can get them to vote for me.
Using the Zelda community to influence right. government.
Unfortunately, it's like 6 to 10% or something Australian viewers. I don't have every single one of them to use to launch my prime ministerial aspirations.
Candidacy.
But, you know, I think something like that in the future. For now, I'm just going to keep working on the internet, see where things take me.
Well, thanks for being on the show today, Cody.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, I look forward to seeing what you report back from next year's E3 and what happens with Zelda in the future.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you become second in Top Geek again.
Thanks.
The first position won't be Cassandra this time.
I'm just too old for this game.
You're just too old for this. You're the buddy cop that's too old for this. And I'm the streetwise one.
All right. Well, good luck to you too.
The gangsters, but oh well, it's obvious I'm wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. I'm just too wide and nerdy. Look at me,